its current state. And Live's Angela Whitrock joins the program every Monday morning to stir up area business and the economy. You didn't run yesterday, but you ran over the weekend.
I did, yes, indeed. The Ronald McDonald race for the House on Saturday.
And you're planning on the half marathon for the Lansing Marathon?
Yep, the Lansing half marathon and then a bunch the rest of the summer.
That's pretty ambitious. Well done. Well, we will learn more about Mayor Virge Bernero's proposed budget tonight. He'll present it to the council, and this process, obviously, it's got a ways to go even after tonight, but we have learned more about how the mayor feels about infrastructure for Lansing. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero released a statement on Friday indicating that he plans to propose about a $3.3 million investment in roads and sidewalks. Sidewalk repair had been a big sticking point last year during the budget. There had been an attempt around budget time to enact a new millage proposal that would allow for a little more funding for sidewalk repair. There are, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles of sidewalk in the city. A lot of them are badly in need of repair or replacing. And there are still some spots in the city where there aren't sidewalks. And as anybody who drives roads in Michigan knows, roads are always a problem. State funding for roads has been down for years now. So, I think Mayor Bernero said it's time for the city to pony up some more cash for roads. There has been the millage proposal or the millage in action that allowed the city to fund a little bit more, but still more is necessary. And so we'll see exactly how much above and beyond it is from last year today.
And they face a $9 million budget deficit here for this next fiscal year. But coming on the heels of the Financial Health Team report, that team, of course, as was widely reported, actually recommended a cut of around $12 million for this next budget. So we're waiting to see whether Verge follows suit and actually recommends more than $9 million in cutting, correct?
Correct, yeah. And that's going to be a fight. You know, there was a proposed cut in the Hollister proposed budget from the Financial Health Team that would have cut the Lansing Fire Department, $2 million, the Police Department, $1 million. But then, as you mentioned, would increase investments in other areas, $3 million, which again would need to be offset somehow. So one of the actual additional investments they proposed was $1 million into upgrading the technology in City Hall, really to make the operations more efficient, which is important when you have cut over 30% of your staff in the past few years. You know, they're doing, as Mayor Bernero says, more with less, and at some point, you know, upgrading your technology becomes a priority, it seems.
And we want to point out that City Councilperson Carol Wood is slated to join the program tomorrow for a closer look at the Bernero budget. She explained to me on Friday that what we'll see tonight are departmental appropriations, not detailed. She referred to them as line item, and you know what she means. These are departmental mm-hmm. numbers, not line item specific project numbers, right?
Right. What we'll see is something like police and fire, $35
million. Right.
Retirement fund, $10 million, something. I mean, these are just numbers I'm making up. Don't take these as gospel. But we won't see something that says, $50,000 for technology in City Hall's, first floor office for tax collections. That we'll see as this process unfolds between now and May 20th when the council has to pass the budget.
You've read these things, I can tell.
I have. I'm a nerd.
Your colleague Jonathan Osting at MLive has reported a really interesting development involving a pair of Republican senators from the greater Lansing area. Senators Rick Jones and Joe Hune are apparently leading an effort to repeal the state's new pension tax and to reinstate homestead property tax credits. Now, Jones and Hune are two of five Republicans, at least, who did vote against that proposal in 2011. They're making it an issue again. What's going on?
Well, Rick Jones says he's at the cusp of that exemption where, because he was born at a certain point in 1952, this doesn't affect him. His pension will not be taxed. But he says that he thinks it's unfair that, anyone who's born after 1952, even by a couple of months, is going to have this tax taken out of their pension accounts. Now, it's going to be a fight, obviously. I don't know that there's a tremendous amount of political will in the House, even if the Senate gets this through, or even that Governor Snyder would sign it. Mm-hmm. We could see maybe his a veto, dare we say? I don't know what's going to happen.
It barely passed in 2011. In fact, it took a tiebreaker by the lieutenant governor, Brian Calley, to pass it. It was tied 19-19. Is it known whether, I guess this boils down to whether other Republicans who may have voted yes for the proposal at the time are having second thoughts as well.
That's possible. And with the pickup of a few seats in the last election in the House by Democrats,
right,
that could change things a bit. And Tim Skubick commented this morning, he has a column up on MLive as well, that the five Republican senators who are backing this are all up for re-election this year. So there's a little bit of political payback now for that vote that could be coming due in the fall.
I should point out also here, switching to East Lansing, the downtown East Lansing development, this vetting process continues. Former Mayor Doug Jester is the head of a panel that is assigning scores to all of the six projects that have been submitted, or proposals that have been submitted for the downtown area, the hub of which is the former Citizens Bank. And Current State learned yesterday that Doug will propose this Wednesday that his committee invite the developers themselves to their group's meeting on Wednesday, April 10th. Doug is the former mayor of East Lansing. He told me yesterday about this. He emphasizes that whether this actually happens depends on the response of his committee to the idea, but he does acknowledge that he will present it. Right now, they're already on track to score all of the proposals according to various criteria, and they're also scheduled to announce the scores at this April 10th meeting. If the committee agrees with Jester, then the actual developers could also appear and answer questions at that meeting. But in the meantime, they've got another meeting scheduled for this Wednesday.
Correct. And one of the things that the committee is really pushing for this time around is a lot more transparency on the part of the developer. They want no business of developers hiding behind various LLCs. They've requested that every developer who is an LLC name each member of the LLC. And if an LLC is a member of an LLC, they want them to sort of unpack those nesting dolls, if you will, until they get to the final point where there are no more LLCs. Basically, what they want to know is who is behind these proposals. They don't want any surprises. They don't want some of the accusations that were leveled at them during the last debacle with City Center 2 to come back around this time. So I think what we're really seeing is a tremendous amount or a tremendous effort at transparency this go around.
Briefly, what are you working on today?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, I'll be at City Hall tonight updating everyone on the budget goings on. So you can look for a live coverage coming up on MLive on that. Beyond that, we'll be looking into the same things that we've been chatting about today, what's happening next with those Park District proposals.
Excellent. Thanks, Angela.
Thanks, Mark.